Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church. If you're a visitor and if you're a regular, you're welcome. I just came this morning to open church with a report from our mission we had yesterday, our mission we'd planned to go and do a stairway for a lady in our church. We got that accomplished. We got just a little bit damp. Well, really a little bit wet, but that's okay. We got the job done, and we thank you, those who were able to go, and I'm sorry for some I didn't get notified, but it was kind of iffy and in limbo, and I didn't know what to do for sure, so we just decided to go ahead and do it and get wet, and we did it, and thank the Lord for each one that could go and do. And I apologize for those that didn't get notified that wanted to go. Also, thank you, Miss Peggy Stanley, for the food preparation. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Lynn Bowen, for the desserts we had and still have some of them if you want to come by the house and get one. But we enjoyed being together yesterday and getting the job done. The fire and rescue squad are thankful for us doing that, and we're glad we could do it. And we thank the church for allowing us to do it. If you have know or people in the church or your neighbors that need the ramps, whatever, we will look at it and see what we can do. But just keep that in mind. And again, thank you. Thank the church for that.
Thanks. Well, while the fellows were doing that, the ladies went to, some of us from WOM went to Kentucky yesterday. The donations that are made to, we were in Letcher County, Kentucky, donations that are made, food, bedding, clothing, all that stuff, it goes to 5 distribution centers. And when it gets there, it's got to be organized. And that's what we did yesterday. We were in an old, what they call, old coal repair garage or something, and the owner of that charged them $1 for insurance reasons to be able to put their all the donations in there. That was 1 of 5 in the county, and we organized the donated food, and it was hard because everybody knows canned food is heavy, but it was very, very worthwhile. And what they do, they have that distribution center right there with the mops, the brooms, the toilet paper, and all that kind of thing, and the food. But then out from it, if anybody's on Facebook and sees my post, they have an area where the residents can come and get a bucket of supplies, food, different things, to take home or to take to their porch or to their camper or to their tent, wherever they're staying. And we got a little lost. But it was a good thing because we saw several properties where people were living in tents or had tarps up making a tent or something. So there's still plenty. There's going to be a lot to do in Kentucky for a very, very long time. And I wouldn't mind to do this again if anybody's interested in setting this up again. But pray, because these folks are heading into winter without a home. And please be in prayer. And, you know, whatever God may have us do as a church, but whatever God may have you to do individually, you know. So just be in prayer for our neighbors in Kentucky.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The way of prayers this morning, let's remember Nancy and Mr. Leonard Groton, Danny and Sherry, and also let's keep in prayers the all the families of the folks that lost loved ones 21 years ago. You know, let's remember them this morning. Way of announcements this morning, September the 25th, lunch will be at Thomas for the church, be at picnic shelter number 5. No Sunday school that morning. Service will begin at 10:30. No evening service, and there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Also, visitation will be Thursday at 6:30. And also, I think the September the 18th, next Sunday, will be the high attendance Sunday for Sunday school. So just keep that in mind. as well. Also, Sister Vaughn wanted me to mention as well, to remind everyone, in the bulletin this morning is also a pamphlet for the vision of Virginia Mission. If you would, just take a quick look at it and see if you'd like to be involved with that as well. Pastor said this morning also to he'll be in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. So if you want to turn to that. I'm sorry? Tonight? Awana starts tonight at 5 o'clock. So just remember that as all those young kids are coming back tonight. Remember the staff will be working and taking care of that as well. Anyone have anything else this morning? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, Lord. Thank you for letting us be able to open our eyes and see everything that you've given us, Lord. We love you and we appreciate you and we thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with the pastor this morning as he brings the message. Be with each and every person here this morning. And just if someone doesn't know you, we ask you that they come to you this morning before it's too late. We thank you again for everything you do. We love you. We appreciate you and we ask you to be with our church. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Good morning, church. We're told in Psalm 69, 30 and 31, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. So I hope that you've come with a heart of praise and ready to sing it through song. So if you'll stand and join as we sing, to God be the glory. And if you were at the praise under the tent, then you got a reminder of this song. We're going to sing How Great Is Our God.
Verse 6. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Verse 13. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.
Son, go get my children, and at the midnight cry, the bride in Christ will rise, and Jesus
steps out on a cloud to call his children. At the midnight cry,
Good singing, y'all. Thank you very much for that singing. And it'll stir you up a little bit, won't it? It'll get you a little bit excited. I was thinking about this Bo and Luke duking it over the knee wall there for just a second, but I thought, man, that could be really bad. It could be really bad. This morning we will be in Hebrews. I messed up and said 11, but we'll be in Hebrews chapter 12. But praise the Lord, it's good to be with you today. We do got a busy day today. We're going to be pinning our Awana workers at the end of service, and then we'll be heading into Awana tonight. And we also have church council meeting, and so got a full day today. But praise the Lord, over the next few minutes, I pray that you've purposed in your heart that today we are going to worship our Lord and Savior this morning. We're going to make much of Him, and in doing that, we'll make much of the Father as well. For those of you that may be watching by radio or listening by radio or watching by Facebook as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 10, it's good to have you with us today, whether you're in here or you're watching. But I tell you what, there's something about being gathered together with the people of God, singing praises and studying the Word of God. It just does your heart good. And if you don't remember anything else about today's service, please do remember that no one loves you like Jesus. No one does so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let Him, He'll do even greater things than we can ever imagine. I pray that that's our driving motive for who we are as individuals and as a body of Christ, that the love of Jesus will be revealed through us, and if it takes using words, then we'll use words as well. I do be praying for some that's traveling today. There's some dealing with bereavement. Others are doing some vacation time that's greatly needed, so be praying for that. But I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me this morning. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Getting Stirred Up. Getting Stirred Up. And as it's amazing to me how God works, because those songs, I don't know about you, but it kindly, you know, music sets the table for the worship service, for the preaching of God's Word. The better the music is, the longer you'll listen to me. So that's why I want really good music. That way I can preach longer. But today I want to talk about getting stirred up. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. You there? All right. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He, capital H, is faithful that promised. And let us consider to provoke one another, or let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, if you're reading out of a New King James or maybe another translation, that word provoke is substituted with the phrase stirred up. Let us stir up one another unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. And Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a beautiful day, a wonderful day. But Heavenly Father, Lord, this is a day that many of us remember what went on 20-some-odd years ago. And Lord, we're thankful that You've been with us before, after, and in the middle. But Lord, there's still those that are grieving the loss of loved ones. God, I thank You for America. I thank You that it's the best country in the world. But God, I do also to pray that You forgive me of my personal sins and You forgive America of our sins as well. God, I pray right now that You'll take Your Word through the Spirit and You'll stir us up for whatever You'd have to do through Thomas Village and the individual members that make us up. God, I pray for those other churches that are around us today that are having services. I pray, God, that You just pour out a special blessing on them through the person of the Holy Spirit. But God, we're just reminded that it is all vain and useless without the presence. Teach us of the Holy Spirit. Teach us what it means to worship in truth and in spirit. Again, forgive me of my sins and my failures in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. To provoke or to stir up. It means encouragement or the causing of something by being spurred on or a stirring up to arouse feelings leading to action, to incite, to call forth, or to stir up purposely. Today, if I was going to give a simple definition to the word provoke, it would be purposely or unintentionally pushing someone to action. Purposely or unintentionally pushing someone to action. September 11, 2001, 7:59 a.m., American Airlines Flight 11, a Boeing 767, carrying 81 passengers and 11 crew members, departs from Logan International Airport in Boston, bound for Los Angeles International Airport. 8:14, United Airlines Flight 175, a Boeing 767, carrying 56 passengers and 9 crew members, departs from Logan International Airport in Boston, headed for Los Angeles Airport. 8:14, at the same time, Flight 11 is hijacked over Massachusetts with 5 hijackers. 8:20, American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757, with 58 passengers and 6 crew members, departs from Washington Dulles International Airport, bound for Los Angeles. 8:42, United Airlines Flight 93, a Boeing 757, with 37 passengers and 7 crew members, departs from Newark International Airport, bound for San Francisco International Airport. Between 8:42 and 8:46, Flight 175 is hijacked above Northwest New Jersey. There are 5 hijackers. 8:46, Flight 11 crashes into the north face of the north tower of the World Trade Center. Between floors 93 and 99, all 92 people on board the plane were killed. 8:50 to 8:54, Flight 77 is hijacked above Southern Ohio. There are 5 hijackers on board. 9:03, 175 crashes into the south face of the south tower of the World Trade Center between floors 77 and 85. All 65 people on board are killed. 9:28, Flight 93 is hijacked above Northern Ohio. There are 4 hijackers on board. 9:37, Flight 77 crashes into the western side of the Pentagon. All 64 people on board are killed. 9:45, United States airspace is shut down. All operating air traffic are ordered to land at the nearest airport. 9:59, the South Tower of the World Trade Center collapses 56 minutes after the first plane hit. 10:03, Flight 93 is crashed by its hijackers in a field in Somerset, Kentucky, Pennsylvania. Later reports indicate that passengers had learned about the World Trade Center and Pentagon and were resisting the hijacker. All 44 people on board killed in the crash. 10:28, the North Tower of the World Trade Center collapses. 1 hour and 42 minutes after the impact of Flight 11. The Marriott Hotel is at the base where 2 towers are destroyed. 10:50, 5 stories of western side of the Pentagon collapse due to the fire. 2,976, I believe it is, that died that day, and over 250 25,000 injured. Didn't know it was going to do me like that to read it. To provoke, to intentionally or unintentionally push to action. We as a country were provoked that day. Many ways. Our hearts were broken. Even as it is right now. We became angry. How dare someone do us like that? We're America. We became fearful. Is that the beginning of it all? Is this the end? Services, houses were full. If I'd say if you were alive and any age to remember, if I asked you where you were, 99% of the people will be able to say, I was here when this happened. I was on the side of a building. a house, pulling off cedar shapes to put on vinyl shapes back. This was my generation's December the 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. Listen at this, though. Following that, 181,510 people enlisted in the armed forces, active duty. And then the next year, 72,900 joined the reserves following the next year, or through the next year. This is according to USO.org and StarsandStripes.com. But you know what? Just like it was said about Pearl Harbor, same was said about that day too, that the giant had been awakened. And you see, sometimes being stirred up isn't comfortable. Sometimes being stirred up is not the right thing to do. But at other times, being stirred up is necessary. It is a must. If the right is going to be done, if what's needed to be accomplished will be accomplished, then men and women must get stirred up on the inside. They must be provoked. They must be prodded. And so by doing that, then they will make the course of action that is needed, so what needs to be done will get done. You remember last week we talked about labor, work, so that we'll expel some energy to get something accomplished. But lots of times, it doesn't go much more than just a feeling. So this morning, I want to talk about being stirred up. To be honest with you, I've had this scripture on my mind all week long. And really didn't think about that today. It was going to be 9/11, the celebration of it. But God kindly brings things together. The first thing I want us to realize is that our Creator, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, wants you and I as believers to be stirred up. Hey, do you remember on that day when it went down? I mean, you might have been as old as Methuselah, but there was something inside of you that said, I'm going to go sign up right now. I'm going to go dig out some rubble. I'm going to go cook some cookies. I'm going to do this and that. I've got to do something because inside of me is stirred up. I've been provoked. I'm being moved. And you know what? Praise God. That's what Jesus was accused of when He was here on the earth. You know that? Listen, in Luke chapter 23, verse 5, but they, the religious crowd, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Sanhedrin, were standing and they were talking to Pilate, and this was their accusations against Jesus. Luke chapter 23, verse 5, but He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where He started even to here. So what are they saying? Man, He's provoking people. He's stirring up. He's prodding them to do what? To get right with God, to repent, to recognize their sins, and to have the believer's baptism. And praise God today, the same was said about the apostles as well. When you read over in the book of Acts, they're accused of provoking the people, of stirring up the people. You remember when Paul would go to different areas, what would they say? Especially when he went and remember the man that was making the idols? He was like, no, he's messing with our way of life. He's turning the people away from worshiping these idols. And He's stirring up the people. Let me ask you this, and I do see it, man. I'm so proud yesterday that we saw people not just going out and doing ministry here and abroad, but there were other people that were doing other things in the name of Jesus Christ and the church. And I think what God is doing is He's stirring within us. But we've got to remember, do you remember what happened on 9/11? I think I might have even been in a church service that night. If it wasn't that night, it was the next one they had. We were in there. But how long did that last? How long did that continue? You see what I'm saying? We were provoked. God scared us. What God allowed, it scared us. And it motivated us. It provoked us to be in the church, to be on the altar, to stand up for our Christian heritage. It looks like that might have been the last great stand if we ain't careful, though. As we let everything just flood in, unabated. Deuteronomy. We see the idea of being stirred up all the way from the book of Genesis to Revelation. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 24, and the Lord said, get up, move out, and across the Arun Valley. See, I have handed Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land over to you. What is he saying? Get up, it's time to move. You got to be provoked. And listen to what he says. Begin to possess it and stir them up to battle. What's he saying? You got to take it to them, bud. I'm telling you right now to get motivated, get moving, because I've got a promise for you. Here's my promise, and it's waiting for you to do it. But are you stirred up enough to go and do it? Have you been provoked enough to go and get it? Then there's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up conflict. But a man slow of anger calms strife. You remember what I said? Sometimes provoking is needed. You need to get riled up. My wife knows how to get me riled up. I can be laying on the couch, and all she's got to do is say, my youngins ain't called me. And next thing I know, what am I doing? You're making my life difficult. I'm going to make your life difficult until you get a hold of your mama. I'm going to provoke you. I'm going to stir you up till you get a hold of your mom. But there's other times where the provoking is not needed. But I want to tell you this today, that I believe 100% that God is trying to provoke His people. Now, there are a lot of times where the idea of provoking is negative. But there's also a lot of times when you look in the book of Habakkuk, God stirred up an ungodly nation to bring judgment on Israel. And you know what? They asked the same questions that we asked at 9/11 and that we still ask today. Why would you use that nation? We're one nation under God. Because God has to stir us up at times. And He wants us to be stirred up. That's what Jesus did. He stirred up. That's what the apostles did. Remember, we talk about how 12 men changed the whole world. Why? Because they got stirred up and they stirred up everybody else around them. But we also see in the New Testament that stirring up is a positive action that God Himself wants to perform in our life. Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, if I can somehow stir up my own people jealousy and save some of them, for if their rejection brings reconciliation to the Lord, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Paul is saying this. This is where he says, my wish to God is that my people will be saved. And if it takes me stirring them up, if it takes me prodding them and poking them. My daddy, every Friday, he'd come pick me up. And we'd go get McDonald's. And then we would go to the cattle sales. And you know what? Some of them old cows, they didn't want to come out into the arena where you could bid on them. And you know what they would do? They'd give them a hot shot, a cattle prod. Man, they'd hit, Nub Jones, he was missing one arm, but man, he could work that thing. And he'd reach in there and he'd hit that cattle with it, and man, that cow would, and it would jump up, and next thing you know, it was right out there in the arena, you're ready to bid on it. Do you reckon today that some of the things that we're seeing and going on is the Lord reaching down and going, zap, zap. Get it going. Stirring up ain't easy. Then Paul wrote to Timothy. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. He says, therefore I remind you to keep stirring up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then Peter pours out again. Simon Peter talks about how important it is to be stirred up. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. I consider it right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to stir you up with this reminder, knowing that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me also. You hear what he's saying? He said, I know I'm about to die. I know God's fit to call me from this realm into the eternal realm. But before I go, I'm going to stir you up. As long as I have it in me and I'm capable of doing it, I am going to stir you up. You may not like it. May not feel good. You may disagree with some of the conclusions that I come from, but I know this. God has called me to stir you up. Then he says again in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Dear friends, this is now the second letter I have written to you. And in both letters I desired to stir up a genuine understanding with a reminder, so that you can remember the words previously spoken by the holy prophets, the command of the word of the Lord and Savior given through the apostles." He says, "I'm going to stir you up. You that say that you're an authentic follower of the Lord Jesus Christ." The central theme of this passage here in the Hebrews is that I want you, but more than that, whoever the writer of Hebrews was, Paul, maybe Luke, not for sure, it's a part of the canon. God give it to us. And he's saying in this passage, we have to continually be stirred up. Why? Why? Because we need to hold on to our confession. We need to hold on to the hope that we have. We need to cling fast to the faithful promises that we have. Why? So that we can work and love. So that we will be working and we will be loving. The word love there means agape. It's the love of God and the love of mankind. That's not natural. You have to be stirred up to love people. Am I right? Some of them it comes easy, but most of them it don't. Most of them it don't. Why? Because we want to love ourselves more than we love anybody else. That's just the bottom line. Amen? Love me. And they need to love me more than they love themselves. Amen? I mean, that's just the way we see it, the natural man. And then, what about the works? To expel energy and intensity to accomplish something. And notice it says not just any works, but good works, godly works, beautiful works, morally right works, works that God has established for us to do even before we ever knew Him. He had that work. But are we going to do those works? Not unless we get stirred up. Remember all the people that went up there and they was moving all those beams and all that stuff? I mean, Steve Buscemi, the actor, you know, he's in a lot of the Adam Sandler movies. He's crazy eye. Do you know he went there and helped them dig rubble? I mean, it didn't matter what economic place you came from then. Didn't matter what color, race, creed, or whatever. You're American and it stirred you up. Our Savior and Lord is purposely calling and drawing each one of us today as believers because He wants to provoke us. He wants to stir us up. He wants us to do something for the glory of His kingdom. Like Peter said, before I leave this world, I'm going to stir someone else up so I know that they're continuing the work that we've been called to do. Today, as we consider where we're at in America and who we are, as Thomas Village, I can say 100% that I believe that God is trying to stir us up to love and to good works. The next point is, there's reason to be stirred up. There's reasons for us to be stirred up. I'm not going to go through many of them, but just look right here in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter into the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus Christ..." Now, as we look at the book of Hebrews, we must remember that it is written from a Jewish perspective to mostly Jewish readers. Understanding that, then we've got to realize that knowledge of the Old Testament is critical in us interpreting Hebrews properly. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5 said, "These serve as a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. As Moses warned when he was about to complete the tabernacle, for God said, 'Be careful that you make everything according to the pattern that shows you that I've shown you on the mountain.'" And then in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 23 it says, "Therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things that are in heaven to be purified with sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves are to be purified with better sacrifices than these. So see what he's saying? He's saying is that what we see in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, it's a reflection of the spiritual. All the ornamental stuff and all the baptism or the washings and the lighting of the lamps and the burning of the sacrifices and the blood on the mercy seat. All of that is a picture of what God has done for the believer who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Notice he says this, that we should be stirred up for the fact that we can boldly enter into the Holy of Holies today. Do you understand that? That we don't have to pray through some saint. We don't have to wait to go into a place of confession. But in this moment, I don't even have to drop down to my knees. But in the person of the Holy Spirit, I am risen up in the heavenly realms to the place where only God sits on that throne. And I am welcomed in that place. And I am invited into that place. And He wants me to be in that place. Hallelujah. Shouldn't we be stirred up? Not everybody in this world today has the privilege of going before the Creator. Not everybody has the privilege of saying, not only is He my Savior, not only is He my Lord, not only is He my perfect sacrifice, but He is my friend. Man, I hear about this week that the Queen died, you know. I watch them on TV and these people crying and toting flowers and truckloads of flowers is being hauled out of. You know what? She seemed to be a good woman. I don't know. She could have been just as mean as anybody else behind closed doors. But she seemed to be, and you know what? Those people are weeping and they probably never said a word to her. Never knew her. But yet today we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sometimes it's a burden for us to serve. Sometimes it's hard for us to be stirred up. But hallelujah, today the veil has been torn away. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12, He entered the most holy place once and for all, not by the blood of goats or of calves, but with His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, therefore let us approach the throne with grace, with throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a proper time. Praise God, there is an open invitation for me to go before the throne. Matter of fact, He says we're to continue in prayer. We're to walk in the presence of God. Amen? We're to live daily in His presence. Why don't that stir us like it should? Huh? Shouldn't we question it if it ain't right? If that doesn't stir me, what is? What will stir me? If knowing that the Creator of all things gives me an open invitation. We've got reasons to be stirred up. Another reason to be stirred up is that He's given me a new and living way. In the Old Testament, it's all about death, death, death. Something had to die, something had to bleed. All that, you remember? Praise God, not in this covenant. It's about life and having it more abundantly. Look what He says. He says, for He has inaugurated, or He has opened up to us a new and living way through the curtain. Other translations will say through the veil. That is, through His flesh. Listen, Matthew chapter 27 verse 51, suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was split in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split and people come up out of their grave. All kind of stuff went on right then. Mark 15:38, then the curtain of the sanctuary was split in two from top to bottom. Luke 23 verses 45 and 46, because then the sun's light failed, the curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit, saying this, He breathed His last. You remember a while ago I said that whosoever knows Jesus Christ today, we have an open invitation to go before the throne. Well, what I just read to you was when the invitation was made open. You see, before then, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7, it says, but the high priest alone enters into the second room, or into the holy place. Remember, the physical representation. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I have not yet ascended. You remember that? He hadn't yet been into the holy place. But he went into the holy place. And it says that once a year in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 7, that the priest only went in there once a year and never without blood. Never without blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. But it goes on to say, but Jesus once and for all has entered into the holy place. And you know what? He sits in the holy place today. He's sitting there. My brother, my Savior, my Lord, He sits in there. And that's why the door is open. But think of how awesome it is how He opened the door. Have you ever did a study on the veil? It wasn't no sheer piece of linen that was hanging up on a window. No. Listen to this. It says that it was perfectly square, 30 foot tall, 60 foot long, and around 4 inches thick. And a lot of people believe it was kind of doubled up there too in a certain spot. You know what I mean? So you'd have to go behind one, get it closed, and then go behind another one, get it closed. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm not a muscle man, but sometimes if I wanted to rip my t-shirt, I couldn't do it. I'd have to start it with a pair of scissors if I was going to look cool and just tear it off like that. But the hand of God Himself, whoo, ain't that good? Hand of God Himself reached down and He tore that veil. And now the invitation is over that I can go boldly before Him knowing that there is access to the throne. Yes, we should be stirred up today. Yes, we should, something inside of us should be motivated to do some expelling of energy so that something may be accomplished for the kingdom of God. Amen. And then the last thing is this. The last reason we should be stirred up is because we have a high priest in such a great house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of our salvation. Praise God today, like Brother David preached last Sunday night and we talked about. The Bible says that we can have a no-so salvation. 1 John chapter 5, I believe verse 19, it says this. I know it's in chapter 5. It says, these things have I written that you may know that you have. Notice, how do we know? How do we know? Well, the first thing is we have full assurance of our faith. Why? Because our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. I know I've done wrong. I know that. I'm a sinner. I sin daily. But you know what 1 John 1, 9 says? If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. He's promised me that the penalty for my life of sin has already been paid. When He came down off the cross, He carried my life of sin into the grave. 3 days later, He came up in righteousness and gave me His righteous life so that my sins will remain in that grave forever. And you know what? Sometimes my conscience needs to be reminded that the blood is still there. Like we studied the Passover this morning. When He passes by, when the death angel comes for me, I know that the blood will be seen by God. And He'll accept me. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He's done. You know something else? Notice what it says right here. It says that we've also got the assurance that our bodies have been washed in pure water. Now, I don't believe that bodily baptism is a must for eternal salvation. But I'm going to tell you this. Every now and then when the devil and my flesh start kicking on me and they say, you ain't saved, you ain't doing that. You know what, I go back to the water. I remember going down and coming up in a newness of life. I remember how it felt when I came up out of that water and just to know that I was identified in Christ at that moment. I'm not going to read it because we got to go on. But if you read over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Now, write that down. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. It compares our baptism, our physical baptism. It compares it to Noah in the ark. And you know what? I bet the first couple of days, because they had never seen rain before. You remember? They just had mist. And the rain was coming down. I bet you Noah was a little bit fearful. But you know what? I believe that the more the rain came and about the fifth day and the tenth day and the 15th day, I think the further he went, the more confidence he had in that boat, in that ship, that it was what he needed. And praise God, that's a part of our baptism. It's a part of us holding on to our faith. It's a reason for us to get stirred up. And again, I want to say this. The thief on the cross, he never had the opportunity to be baptized, but I believe I'll see him in heaven. I believe there's other people that I know that died on their that accepted Jesus on their deathbed, and they've never been baptized, but I'll see them in heaven. There's some, even though I'm a good Baptist and I believe that Jesus came up out of the Jordan, meaning that he immersed in the Jordan, there's been some that couldn't make it to a bathtub and poured a little water on their head just for the conscience sake. But I tell you this as well. 95% of the time, when a person makes a profession of faith and they have the opportunity to be baptized, but they don't, there's a lot of backsliding and am I or ain't I and all of this. You see, we're given that to help stir us up. Amen? So we see this, that God wants us to be stirred up. Amen? There's reasons for us to be stirred up. And so the last thing I want to talk about is how to get stirred up. Amen? How to get stirred up. I hope as a Christian today that listening to this sermon, the Holy Spirit has moved on you and inside of you saying, Lord, I'm stirred a little bit, but I need to be stirred up more. Son, I need a blender to go off in my body right now in the spiritual realm. But listen to this. You want to get stirred up? Hold on to and hold up your testimony. Hold on to and hold up your testimony. Look there in verse 22. Let us hold fast to what? The confession of our faith. Confessions are open. They're uttered. That's what he says about us being saved. If any man believe in their hearts, confess with the mouth, they shall be saved. Without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. Listen to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and following. Because the accuser of the brethren has been thrown out. Let's talk about the devil. You know that? He accuses us daily. All the time, probably right half a time or more. Our flesh accuses us all day. But listen, the one who accuses them before God, day and night. But they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. By the word of their confession, and they did not love their lives unto death. Remembering, retelling, and rehearsing your personal salvation story is a key part to holding on to the hope and the faith of Jesus Christ. When you recite it, when you retell it, when you type it, when you remember it, it allows for you to remember the things that Jesus Christ has done for you was not simply an emotional experience, was not just the tingles, but it was reality. It is your truth. It is the change of your life for an eternity for the better. Tell somebody about the day you got saved. And lots of times that somebody needs to be you looking in the mirror and it's telling you back. How do we get excited? How do we get stirred up? We used to sing an old song. Mama used to lead us in it. Got to go back to the place where God's amazing grace came to me long ago. Got to return to the glory, chapter one of the story. Got to go back to the day He saved my soul. When's the last time you went back? That's what we're doing today about 9/11, right? All over this country, people are going back. We might even do it tonight. I might ask you, where were you? We're going back. We remember. Why? Because that stirs us up. And I think that's good because we need to be stirred up so we'll fight for America right now. We do. But more than that, we need to be stirred up on the inside by the person of the Holy Spirit. How do we get stirred up? The reading and hearing of God's Word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13, what did he say? As long as I'm in this tent, I'm going to stir you up. He said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, this is the second time I've wrote you a letter, and the reason I wrote you this letter is because I want to stir you up. How do you usually stir somebody up? You either tell them something, or you write them a note, right? It's verbal or it's written. John 6:63. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help it at all. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit, they are life, but there are some among you who do not believe. Can I tell you this today? You can read all the Bible, and you should read all the Bible. Praise God. You need to write the Bible, type the Bible, read the Bible out loud. Before there was ever a temple, that's what. Before there was ever the priestly system, that's what God instructed Moses to tell the people. Remember, talk about it at your supper table. Talk about it when you lay down at night. Talk about it when you're doing recreational things. Get the Bible out and listen to the Bible. But I'll tell you something else too. If you can read the Bible 100 times, but if you ain't got the Holy Spirit guiding you in it, you ain't getting much. Because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it is, it says that the natural man receives not the things of God. He can't take it. That's why sometimes when I talk to some people, and they'll tell me this, and they're churchgoers, and I wasn't doubting their salvation, but then they'll come to me and they say, I just don't get nothing out of it. That scares me for them. It does. I'll get you a different version. It ain't got to be King James. We'll get you whatever. But if you're not understanding, it's time to talk to the Holy Ghost. Because He'll talk to you. And then the last thing is this. Want to be stirred up? Then we need to get faithful about meeting with others in Christ Jesus. Now, I know this is going from preaching to meddling right now, right? But listen, how else are we to interpret this passage? Verse 25. Not neglecting to gather together. King James says to assemble ourselves. That means to come together. Individuals bringing themselves together for what? To worship, to exhort, to encourage, to build up. That's what he's saying. He's saying come together with one another to worship. Because see, you know what's happening? Because some are getting into a habit of not coming together. And I'm not here to beat you over the head or anything like that, but it's amazing to me how context falls. He says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, as the habit of some is, right? Even that much more as you see that day. What day? The Lord's day. Not Sunday, not Wednesday. He's talking about the closer we see to the Lord coming back, we need to meet together more often. That's exactly what he's saying. And then, now you want me to really get to meddling? Read the next verse. Read verse 26. What does it say? Somebody read it. If we sin intentionally, is he saying that if we forfeit meeting together, that we're sinning? We know this. I'm not saying it has to be on a Sunday. I ain't saying it has to be on a Wednesday. But it's clear that God wants His people to meet together. To come together. And I'm going to tell you what. I believe that's talking about church membership. I believe it's talking about church membership. Let me tell you why. Anytime anybody got saved, they became a part of the church. They became a part of the universal church. But Paul, his whole life didn't go around preaching the universal church. He went around establishing the local churches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, he says, but as God has distributed to each, as the Lord has called each one, so let them walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. Plural. God has called His people to gather together in the local body to accomplish what He's called us to do. Now, do we want to be stirred up? That's the question that you've got to ask yourself today. Because I can't stir you up. You can't stir me up. Matter of fact, we can't even stir ourselves up. Now, I do know this, that if them ladies would have sang for about 3 or 4 more songs, I think we would have had people standing up here worshiping, praising God, getting excited, may have come down here to the altar. But are you going to be here tonight? Are you going to be here Wednesday night? Are you going to be here at visitation? See, y'all getting me stirred up though, because you are being at those places. Our Sunday night numbers are picking up. Our Wednesday night numbers are picking up. 8 to 10 head was over there working on a set of steps the other day. There was people that went 9 or 10, I think, went over to Kentucky and was doing something. You see, I see evidence of a stirring up. I see evidence of the body of Christ coming together. But here's the thing, we can become content. And so here's the invitation. I'm going to ask my brother to come. Or my sister to come. You want to lead us in a song, sister? We'll do it a cappella. Here's the thing. Number one, are you stirred up about your eternal destiny? Are you stirred up about your eternal destiny? Because if you ain't, might want to just check in on it just to make sure. You can know that you know that you know. But if you don't know today, you can know today. Second thing is this. Are you stirred up about your family's eternal destiny? Are you stirred up about your neighbor's eternal destiny? Are you stirred up about other people's that maybe we don't even know eternal destiny? Are you stirred up about serving the Lord? Praise God, maybe say, yeah, but I need more. I want more. Stir me up. And then the last thing is this. Are you stirred up about the future of Thomas Village Baptist Church? Are you stirred up about the way He's going to use you in that future? Whatever your need might be today, whether it be salvation, rededication, maybe you just want to come up here and say, I don't know what He's called me to do, but I know He's called me to do something, and I'm stirred up about it. And try everything till you figure out what it is, you know? You might have 4 or 5 gifts that He's given you. You know, that's what the gift is for. Stir you up. Stir you up. Or maybe today you just want to come and pray for a lost soul. But whatever it is, sister, would you come and lead us? Stand with me as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do thank You for this day. I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace, and I pray that You do with today's service whatever You would have to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 483.
We have people coming. Footsteps of Jesus. Footsteps that stirred others up.
Sweetly, Lord, we have heard Thee calling, follow me.
And we see where Thy footprints falling lead
us to Thee.
In Jesus' name, I lift up my sister and pray You be.
Footprints of
Jesus that make the pathway glow.
We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go.
Praise the Lord. We still have some that is praying. I thank you for being attentive this morning. I hope you have been stirred. Tonight, I'm not quite sure what we're going to be doing. You can be seated. I'm not quite sure what we'll be doing. We were in the middle of a study. If you remember, we were studying on examples of an attitude of ingratitude. You remember we were looking at the 10 things that the Egyptians did. And tonight we may just remember, talk about where we were when all of it went down 21 years ago. Right now, we're going to have a time of celebration and pinning on our new workers as we get ready to go into Awana. Sorry I kept you so long. If you need to leave, we understand. But I'm going to ask Sister Tammy and Brother Wayne if they would to come and guide us in this.
Okay. We want to Awana awards pinning to workers as they serve our children each and every year. And it may not seem like much, but it is. I mean, it's a every day or every week thing. And especially for the teachers, they're preparing through the week for what they're going to do. And Awana awards at a pin for every year, 1 through 10, and then every 5 years after that. So some folks will get a pin and some won't, just based on the year they're in. But I'm just going to call you up, and this is from last year. And please stay up here because we're going to have a time of prayer over Awana starting tonight. Michelle Bowen, who's not here, she has served for 4 years. She was our Cubbies teacher, and even though we didn't have any Cubbies last year, she was always ready. She was ready to serve if one came in halfway through the year. So she She was our cookies teacher last year. Robert Chapman, who's not with us this morning, they had an engagement today. He's been with us for 4 years and earned his missions. Star Robin Chapman, who has been our journey leader for 6 years, and she also earned her mission. Andrea Jesse, she 16 years, and she gets her mission pin. Come up, Andrea. You're here. So we're going to be praying. And even though he retired out on us last year, and we just, you know, just got all boo-hoo about it, we found him a job. So KJC is going to, he finished up 19 years and got a mission pin. He's going to be a hall monitor. Nathan Jesse, 15 years, and he gets a pin and his mission star. The best games man ever. Fleeta Kern, 16 years, and her mission star. Tabitha Miller, 17 years, mission star. I love this. Peggy Stanley, who hadn't got any pins, but has been doing this forever, she gets pins 1 through 10. So, but it's her 13th year. So it's your 13th for her, actually. So, and her, okay. Another one that we kind of had messed up here, because paperwork is not my favorite thing. Let's just teach some Jesus. But anyway, Marty Stewart, her 7th year. I don't know what we did. We're going to blame COVID is what we're going to do. She's getting her 2, 3, 5, 6, and 7 year. So, yes, COVID's for 7 years. Just depends on what you call it. John Franklin, his 3rd year in Journey and Missions. Now, our helpers, there's only one helper pin, so I'm not going to overload them with helper pins. But I am tickled to have her here today. And Miss Teresa Cobb gets a helper pin. But it's up to her if she wants to come up. John Black, he was always willing and ready to be a listener last year. So that's his 2nd year. Caitlin Cole, it's her year 1 as teacher pin. She got a helper pin last year. And her missions. This year she is stepping up and helping John as full-time teacher. Miss Rowena, also a very willing helper throughout the year. And Chris Cole stepped in when we had some health issues with some of our leaders, and he gets his 1st year helper pin, but he's stepping in this year as our track teacher, so, and a mission pin. Those are from last year, and I want to ask Valerie, who's stepping up to be our Cubbies teacher, and Hannah Shepherd, so we get to pass the baby around Juana. Miss Ashley, who I wasn't even going to ask, who came and was like, can I help, you know, and so she's going to be a listener and kind of fill-in type of person this year. Miss Sherry Roten has even volunteered to listen when we need her. So, and I'm just, look at the church. Look who else up here. So, if you feel like there's something that you would like to do to help in Awana, we would love it because there's never enough. But we are just so thankful for this opportunity. But we have 3 people that we want to honor this morning who have been with Awana the whole 20 years that we've had Awana. I was kind of hoping Miss Rhonda would be here this morning because she's in town. But Miss Siobhan Edwards, she gets a 20-year pin. She gets her mission pin, and she also gets her Versathon patch. Julie Fuller, who's not here, But we'll let that slide. She'll be back tonight, I reckon. But she gets her 20-year pin. And my favorite story is, I asked Mr. Kent Lawson, how long have you been helping in Awana? And his answer was, well, as long as Julie has. So Mr. Kent gets his 20-year pin and mission. So Wayne gets his 9-year pin and mission.